Thank you for listening to Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills. At Crossroads, our mission is to be the church. By sharing and showing the love of Christ and inviting others to be recipients of Christ's love. Now here is this week's message from Pastor Floyd Hughes.
You waited. Really quick, good morning to all those who are watching us online. I don't want you guys to feel like we don't acknowledge your presence. We're grateful that you're able to watch us online as well. Again, welcome to our Sunday celebration where we love celebrating Jesus. I am Pastor Floyd, and this morning we are continuing in our series of the seven I am statements of Jesus. These are statements that Jesus made about himself that reveal who he is to humanity. And although humanity will question who Jesus is and will doubt who Jesus is, Jesus made it crystal clear who he is through some of these statements, or actually through all of them. And if Jesus made it clear who he is, then for those of us who call ourselves Christians or who follow him, then we have to ask, well, who is Jesus calling us to be for him? And the statement we're going to look at this morning is a little bit hard for me, because we've been looking at these statements in context, and we always teach the Bible in context. But Jesus, in this next statement, and in the one we talked about last week, is having a specific discussion with the Pharisees, the religious ruling group in that day. And he's actually criticizing them for how they lead God's people or fail to lead God's people, which hits home for me because I kind of take that personally, the call to shepherd the people of God. And anytime that I see where Jesus is like, hey, you're not doing this right, or you shouldn't be doing this, I have to look at myself and say, well, am I doing that? Is he also talking to me? Am I heading in that direction? So if you have a Bible, open it up to the Gospel of John. And we're going to look at the call that God has for pastors to care for the people of God and present the Word of God, and how that's to be taken extremely seriously. And again, we're going to look at it in the context of what Jesus said to the folks back then. And we're going to look at it in the context of how this applies to us today, not just to pastors, but to all people, especially who is Jesus calling us to be today. So in John chapter 10, and if you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand. There's one somewhere around you, under the seat, in front of you, behind you, or we'll have someone bring one to you. In John chapter 10, Jesus says this in verse 7, and we're continuing with this ongoing conversation, so I'm going to back it up a little bit. In verse 7, this is part of what we read last week. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. And he defines what it is, and we're going to talk about it again in a minute. And he says, all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. And he reiterates, I am the gate. And then he explains what that means. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And we talked about last week how Jesus was proclaiming he is the only way for people to experience salvation. He is the only way for people to get to know God. He is the only way for people to get into or be a part of the kingdom of heaven and God's family. He says he will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And here's the thing, and we talked a little bit about this. You can have a full life here on earth, right? Some of us, we have amazing jobs that we love, and you can experience that and have a full life. Some of us, we have amazing families that we love, and you're like, this is I'm living my best life when I get to hang out with my family. Some of us, we get to travel. Some of us, we get to, you know, you go to concerts, or you go to whatever, you have amazing hobbies, and you're like, this is great. Life is wonderful for me. And it's not that Jesus is saying that you can't be successful on this earth. You can. But to live life to the full, the fullest intent that God had, can only be experienced in relationship with God and in God's kingdom. Because imagine that job that you love if it didn't like hurt so much, if you weren't tired so much without having to deal with maybe the animosity or anger of coworkers. Imagine the family that you love, right? But without any family arguments or disappointments or all that kind of stuff. Imagine the children that you love, but imagine without any limitations, or even with your spouse, or even with your other family members, without any anger, without any hate, without any disagreements, without any miscommunications or misunderstandings that lead to arguments, right? All of that we will experience in the presence of God, because then we will experience like unfiltered love in the presence of God, like the fullness of the way it was meant to be with our family members, with our children, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, without worries about, well, I love you, but we can't talk about politics because then we'll fall out with each other. Or I love you, but yeah, you're in that denomination and I'm in this denomination, so we can't come together as the church and pray like what we were trying to put together. Imagine if all we did was just come together without any limitations to experience the love of God and to love one another. That can only be experienced. Community, fellowship, and love in its fullest intent, what God intended in the kingdom of God. And Jesus made it crystal clear. He's saying, I'm the only way to get to that kingdom. And I have come here so that you can experience it to the full. Drop down to verse 11. And this is where he makes his next statement. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he, the hired hand, sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And here's the thing. Jesus was saying that the Pharisees were hired hands. It wasn't a bad thing to be a hired hand. It was a bad thing to be a hired hand who couldn't be trusted to care for the sheep. It was a bad thing to be a hired hand who didn't put the sheep first and who wasn't interested in what was going on with the sheep. Right? Because the shepherd is the person who cared for the sheep. And as pastors, we're supposed to care about all of you. Right? So when I ask people, like, and I know Judy and Tom, they travel, they go do stuff. And so there's sometimes they're not here, which is okay. But if there's been like a couple of weeks where, okay, it's been 3 or 4 weeks, they're usually, you know, has anyone heard from them? It's not a conversation of, hey, why aren't you guys in church? It's a conversation of, hey, has anyone checked to make sure that they're okay? Maybe there's something going on. Maybe they have a need. And God forbid, maybe they're, you know, lying dead in a ditch somewhere. And so when we ask about other people, how are you doing? How's everything going? It's not about why aren't you coming to church. It's about how is your life? Because as pastors, we're supposed to, yeah, I want to shepherd people so that they do have their best life here. But I also want to equip them the way Jesus wants them to, so that they make it into the kingdom of heaven and experience life to the full the way that God intended. And that's what pastors are supposed to do. But Jesus starts criticizing the Pharisees because they're not doing that. They weren't putting the people first. They were putting religious and legalistic things first. So in verse 14, he says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Underline or circle that word know. He says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. The relationship that God has with Jesus as God the Son is one that we can't understand. It's baffling to the mind. People are always, is Jesus God? Is God God? How does that work? How is God here and Jesus here? But yet Jesus says they are one, but they have such an intimate relationship that transcends our human understanding of intimacy. That word know is a Greek word that means not only to know intimately, but internally. Like, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're feeling. I know what you're excited about. I know what you're sad about. They know each other. And Jesus says, this is the relationship that we are to have with him, because he says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And some people in the past, I don't know if this is still a thing, have used that verse to say, well, Jesus is talking about either the Jehovah Witness or the Mormons, or some people even said the American Indians. And Jesus is talking about the Gentiles. He's talking to, in this conversation in that day, Jewish people. But then he's referring to, and he does throughout the Gospels, Gentiles, and he says, I must bring them also, they will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. He says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And the command was, it's your choice. The command from God the Father to Jesus the Son wasn't, hey, I as God the Father am commanding you as God the Son that you must go do this. The command was, I as God the Father am giving you, God the Son, the option to lay down your life for all of humanity. And Jesus said, yeah, I'm going to go do that for them, because that's what the shepherd is supposed to do. And then he says this, at these words, the Jews were again divided. Because when you start revealing truth, and especially when Jesus starts revealing who he is to people, it divides people. It doesn't just divide non-religious and religious people. It divides political people. It divides people across cultures and denominations. And many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? Which is what will happen when pastors start speaking truth. Not saying, well, I think this is what we should do, but when pastors stand up and say, this is what the Word of God says, people will say he's lying. I've been called a false prophet. I've been told I'm leading people to hell. I've been told all kinds of things. And not for sharing my opinion. I hear that when I share my opinion too. But specifically when I read a verse and say, well, here's what the Word of God says, and I've been told you're a liar. And I'm like, I didn't even tell you. Here's what I think. It's like, here, I read this verse out loud. And it causes division. But then others, in verse 21, it says, but others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And this is what we see in our day, where if you start preaching truth, people will be divided. When you start talking about, here is who Jesus said he is. Not even, here's what our denomination says. Here is who Jesus said he is. It will divide people. And Jesus revealed himself. He said, hey, I am the good shepherd, which means, first and foremost, he says, I'm going to provide for the flock. I'm going to take care of them, because that's what a shepherd does. And again, it's not a lot of sheep herders in our community, but when you talk about a shepherd and a flock, that's what they do. They provide for the flock. They protect the flock, which is why he said, hey, other people, the hired hand, they're going to run away. But the shepherd, this is one of the stories, if you look through the Bible about King David, where he says, I fought bears and I fought lions. It wasn't like he was in some kind of like weird fight club where they were fighting animals, although that would be so cool. I'm sorry, weird fight club where they were fighting animals. These are the predatory animals that would come after the flock, and David would go toe-to-toe with them to protect the flock, because he was the shepherd of the flock. And that's what the shepherd is supposed to do. But also, as Jesus does, the shepherd is supposed to preach truth. even if it causes division. And the reality is, if you preach truth, it's going to cause division between those who want to stay blind, they don't want to hear the truth, and those who want to seek and accept the truth. And there are people, as soon as you say, "Thus saith the Lord," I don't want to hear that. But here's the archaeological evidence that backs up what God says. I don't want to hear that. But here's other evidence that shows that this is true. I don't want to hear that. They choose to stay blind. So here's the other thing. Biblical context. This is the conversation, because we've been looking at the context, that Jesus had after he healed a blind man, which is why he made the blind reference, after he challenged the Pharisees not to stay blind but to accept truth, and after he denounced all other religions with his claim to be the gate or the only way to heaven, then he said, "I am the good shepherd. I'm the person who's going to protect for the flock. I'm going to provide for the flock. I'm going to reveal and preach truth to the flock." And then that asks the question, who does Jesus call us to be for him? And I'm going to go back to this verse that we just looked at, because he said in verses 14 and 15, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." And the way that we're supposed to know Jesus is just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus doesn't make it difficult. He says, "Hey, I'm the good shepherd." And then he calls us to be people who know him and who follow him. People who acknowledge that, yeah, Jesus is the protector of the flock. Jesus is the one who provides for the flock. But Jesus is also the one who preaches truth to the flock. And if any person, and I say this regularly, myself, any pastor, whether they be online, whether they be in a church, if they try to preach anything other than what Jesus said, then they are not trying to share truth. They are not trying to follow the good shepherd. They are what Jesus called thieves and robbers. And they're not trying to lead you to God. They may be trying to lead you away from God. They may be trying to lead you in a direction they think is better, but they're not trying to lead you towards Jesus so that you follow after him. Because that's what we as pastors are called to do. That is our primary responsibility. That is our primary role. And we have no other mission than to equip you to know Jesus and follow him so that you can go out and tell others about him. And when he says, I'm going to make this distinction really quick before we pray and I ask you guys to stand and we close with a song. When Jesus says that his sheep know him, the reason he uses that word is because there's a lot of people that know of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. There are a lot of people who say, and I talk to atheists all the time, that say, "I read my Bible more than many Christians. I read my Bible every day. I study it so I can stand up and show Christians why they're wrong." And that's great that you know of the Word of God, but you don't know the Word of God. And I've had conversations with people who say, "Well, I was a Christian for X many years, but now I'm an atheist." And I always ask them, "Well, what was it that made you a Christian?" Because if you were a Christian, that meant that you knew and followed Jesus. And they will say things that show that they knew of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. Because they will say, "I read my Bible all the time, and I could quote it to you backwards and forwards." And I will say, "Well, Satan can do that too. That doesn't make him a Christian." And they will say, "Well, I was in church for 10, 20, 30 years. I sat in the pews. I even stood up and preached." And I'm like, "Well, Satan was in the presence of God and led worship. That doesn't make him a Christian." Because there's a difference between knowing of Jesus and knowing Jesus intimately, the way that Jesus knows God and God knows Jesus. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to follow a bunch of religious rules. We're not called to just memorize scripture. There's a lot of scripture I do not have memorized. And when I'm going through the Bible, like when I stand up here and preach, please don't be impressed that I turn immediately to the page that we're talking about. I have it marked. in my Bible. And if I forget to mark it, the table of contents is your best friend, right? And people will say, well, do you know this scripture? And they'll say, like, do you know what Romans 8 chapter, whatever verse this says? I was like, no, I don't know the numbers, but if you tell me the scripture, yeah, I know that scripture. And I know the way that God intended it to be used. So there is a significant difference between knowing of Jesus and knowing Jesus. And we are called to know Jesus intimately and to follow him. So I'm going to ask you guys to stand. God, we pray that we take to heart your call to know you. And I know people throw those terms around a lot about whether or not they have a relationship with God or whether it's just a religion, but we take to heart the fact that we are called to know you intimately in the way that you know us intimately. We pray that we don't fall prey to any misleadings that would tell us we have to memorize certain things, we have to follow a set of religious rules, but we pray that we also understand that we need to put a lot of the stuff that's going on in this world aside and put you first so that we may know you. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.